the Sundance Reel on the weekend, and I'm Rhett Bruff again here with Stacy Domalski. And another group of filmmakers from the short program. We have the director of the film, Fauve. Jeremy, tell me how to pronounce that correctly.
It's Fauve. Fauve is great.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. All right. That's Jeremy Comte. And introduce the members of your crew that are with you.
So I'm with Evren Boisjoli, my producer, and Maria Grasset Turgeon, my other producer.
And this I did see a screener of this. So this is kind of hard for me to describe the film. So I'll let you describe the film. Kind of the feel of a short story and kind of a dark short story. But go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, it's the story of those two boys, Benjamin and Tyler, in the countryside of Quebec, Canada. And they slowly get into this kind of twisted power game while they're exploring a surface mine. And basically, things get a bit too far. So really, I wanted to explore the cruelty of childhood through his naivety, you know, really portray childhood, you know, in its raw form. I was really inspired, you know, by my own childhood, and I really, really wanted to work with those kids, to those two boys who was close to their lives, basically.
Yeah, the setting is this something you're familiar with? Or, of course, you know, anyone who sees the film will remember this old mine or something with kind of tautsit sticky material. It's like kind of like the Canadian mine version of the Moors or something. But was this something you were familiar with before, or did you find this or what?
Yeah, like I had ideas like referenced in my mind because basically like, well, there's quicksand in the film, right? So it's just to give a bit of information about it. But so I really wanted a place that looked like almost like a moon landscape, you know? It, like I didn't want to place it in a very specific location. I wanted to keep it very kind of abstract. So I heard about this town. It's called Thetford Mines. It's an old mining town about 3 hours from Montreal. And it's crazy because you drive around that town and you see those big pile of dust everywhere, you know? So it feels very surreal, very, very surreal.
Yeah, I think somebody compared it to a moonscape, as you said.
We're really trying to contrast, you know, nature and the man-made landscapes in the film.
Yeah, nature has a big, big part in the film, you know, like it's the ultimate antagonist. So it's always like even like how the boys are dressed and, you know, how they act, how they are. We really wanted to be very primitive, you know, very, very, very raw. So like nature, those landscape really has a big role in the film and the impact. So we looked a lot for it. Like we spent many, many days. I scouted over, I don't know, like...
Over 15
mines. Oh. And that was the last one. And I was like, I remember because at first we were just at the bottom of the hill. I was like, oh no, I don't think it's interesting. I was like, no, let's go. And I climbed up the big hill. And after there was this beautiful blue lake at the bottom and it was super wide, super, super huge, just like kind of like white ground. Very old, like minerals. I really felt like eerie, you know, like in a dream.
Oh, yeah, the right location. Darn it, it's always the last place you look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you don't think it will be.
Yeah.
Well, Evren and Marie, talk a little bit about your roles in this and get close to that microphone.
For sure.
Closer. Yeah. Don't be afraid to love the mic.
Jeremy has been talking about this for quite some time, almost 3 to 4 years now. And as we were looking for the mines, it's of course a 3-hour drive, so we had a lot of time to talk about the film. So we were developing it a lot, and Maria got on board. I'll have her talk about her involvement later. But a big part that I took is in the casting as well. We were there and we found the kids 8 months before the film, and we rehearsed with them for over 8 months as their non-actors, and we really got them to embody their characters and be their characters.
Oh, and you did an excellent job, because those are, I mean, that for non-actors, yes, that's an amazing, that's
Where'd
an amazing
job. Where'd
you
find those job. Kids?
Those kids are amazing. Like, well, we basically started casting in Montreal like a year before the shoot, and like Jeremy quickly realized that those actors in Montreal who were actors, professional actors, were not raw enough to like really play well and incarnate those characters. So we started wild casting, and we went really near the set location. So it was in Thetford Mines, and we reached out about like, 50 kids.
15 schools.
15 school, and like we had 50 kids in audition. So it was really like a long process to really get to find those two amazing kids. And Jeremy have been rehearsing a lot with them and rewriting the script with like all the interaction he got with the kids and how like he really built up like the story and the character around those kids too. So it's been a nice process that really brings a lot to the film, I think.
I was going to ask about that. So if you're working with non-actors or kids who aren't used to acting, you would have to direct them in a different way than you would if you're working with professional actors. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Totally, totally. So basically, I didn't give them any scripts.
Ah, okay.
So I kind of told them the story, and then afterwards, you know, I'm an adult, so I can write about those boys, but it's my adult perspective. It's never going to be exactly right. So just by going on location with them, letting them free, giving them some direction, I'll do this, do that, the improvising, like, it was already more real. And they were really brilliant, very open to it, to my direction. So even during the takes, I was just, like, telling them to do this or that. It was always a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it never, for even them, it never felt scripted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was basically, it was a very different process, because, you know, with like actors, it's really clear and we rehearse the shot exactly how you planned them. But there's more like a kind of documentary almost aspect to it. It's really more free, more instinctive. And yeah, like sometimes it was just like saying some very funny lines, and I was like, I need to put that back in the script. I was always rewriting the script, so it was mm-hmm. very clear for like everybody on set, like what we were doing. But for the two kids, no, like it was before every take, I was like working with them, making them like rehearse a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The rehearsal process was so long that a lot of the scenes are inspired from those days that we spent with them. So you know, looking into the building or throwing rocks, all of those situations happened for real and really inspired.
Yeah, and in the very opening scene of the film, it opens with one of the boys just really knocking very intensely on a door, being locked in this really beautiful abandoned train, you know, and just like asking for help. And then his friend comes in and he's like, okay, like he's kind of playing around with him. But this, like, not wanting to let him out of the bathroom of the abandoned train, you know. So actually this scene happened for real. Like they were playing around and one of the two boys did that. And I was like, okay, guys, like, let's do that again. I put my iPhone out and we did it a couple of times together. And like we kind of rechanged the scene so it was more shorter, more, you know, strong, more direct. So, yeah, it's been a lot of playing around, being their friends, you know, mm-hmm. really being their. And I had to become a child again.
Well, I think you had to really get their trust. Yeah. They had to be able to trust you to.
I was the only semi-adult person on set.
You were the go-between.
But
between.
He was certainly a child on, well, a child. he was living his childhood.
A sure. child at heart.
Yeah.
So how many days did you shoot with these kids?
It was 5 days.
That's
days it? Of shoot. Yeah, oh. Yeah, only 5 days. It was pretty intense. And yeah, because there's a quicksand in the film. That was really technically hard and complicated. So that was a big challenge.
Unsafe.
Just to
unsafe?
Yeah.
I'll put that out there right now.
Yeah, we really planned it out well. So that's why we had like always to kind of like change our planning, because the quicksand was not quite ready. So, yeah.
I have to put a little credit that no Canadian youths were harmed in the filming of this production.
Yeah, exactly.
No child protective services on set.
Yeah.
And by, fauve, the title means what?
So fauve is it's a French word. There's not quite the right translation. That's why I kept it in French. Like the direct translation would be like wild beast or beasts. But what's very interesting with fauve, it's a color in French, and that color is kind of like that orangey brownish town color. So it in my film there's a big symbolic with that color without giving it too much away. And also it's like I said, my film's so primitive, so close to nature, and fauve is those really wild beasts, you know, in nature. So I see my two kids, you know, as being those wild beasts. Also Favism is a beautiful current where we're like put really nature forward with vivid colors. And in my film, the last frame of my film really reminded me of this current, Favism, which is like a big landscape of the countryside. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what kind of reception has this film had? I mean, obviously it got into Sundance. What else is on the horizon for this film?
Well, right now, I mean, like, as Sundance was not clearly planned, it was really like a long shot that kind of amazed us to get in. But like, yeah, I mean, like the news spread pretty quickly, and like we've been contacted by a few festivals already, and I'm sure like this is gonna be going pretty well for this film, because like we couldn't ask for a better premiere than Sundance. So
this is your world premiere at this festival.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
That's the Shorts number 3. Does Sundance ever tell you when you're in, you know, part of a compendium, a program, do you get any information from Sundance about where you are in the program, you know, what precedes you and what you're leading into? So you have some idea of, you know, how you're going to play to the audience.
Yeah, no, it's special to be in a short program, because there's this film before and after you, so it's going to clearly influence how people are going to perceive your film. But the film is pretty visceral, you know, it's pretty intense in terms of emotion, so we're lucky to put us at the very end of the program, you know, we're ending the program. Oh. And it was nice because I could see people, they were just hiding, you know, like under their hands and like, because it becomes intense in parts, so... the reaction was very nice, and also the two boys, the two main actors, they flew actually from Quebec.
They're here.
Yeah, all right. They're here.
Yeah, good.
It was the people were so happy to see them, you know, in person.
Okay, and that's a good choice. That's a good film as the end note on a program.
Yeah.
And you are in Shorts program number 3, and let's see, you've been. You've had a couple of showings already, but your next you're just about done, aren't you? You have one at Friday at the Holiday 4 at 1 p.m. So, the people that are fans of the Shorts at Sundance, please, you know, remember Shorts number 3 and make a note to get to that one.
Yes, because that's your last chance here at Sundance. This coming Friday at the Holiday. Yes. Shorts program 3. Yeah.
So thank you, Jeremy, Evren, and Maria. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in.